respond that we're friendly respond, if we're fond in all of the world, we're going to be an enemy of God. Jesus Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. So we have to live for the kingdom to come. Yes, we are in the world. But that doesn't mean we have to participate in the things of the world to reach the people of the world. We can stand outside of those things. We can say, I have to leave those things and show them the life rope of Jesus Christ and say, come on out with us. We have to follow after Christ.
Test yourself to the truth, folks.
Which is what we're doing today. We're not participating in the festival. And you have to go much deeper, follow after Christ. Do you know the gospel at all?
Yes.
Could you tell it to me? I like to test people that know the gospel.
Jesus Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but to convict it of sin.
Yep.
And that if we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith is sufficient.
Right.
Sufficient if we put our faith in the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
For the remission of sin.
So that's the whole gospel.
Well, I'd have to be able to quote all the Matthew, Mark,
right.
John.
God is the Word of God. It says, Hebrews 5:9, the Lord made the way of eternal life for those who believe. So a biblical faith, you can read through that in the whole book of James, a biblical faith will produce works. And Abraham wasn't just justified by his faith, he was justified by his faith and his works. Same with Noah. If Noah said, Lord, I have faith that you want me to build the ark, I have faith that you'll keep me safe, Lord, but he'd never built the ark, he wouldn't be saved. So it's always a custom with works. Now, it doesn't mean our works save us at all.
We can't work. We're saved by grace and not of works.
Exactly.
Lest any man should boast.
But we are made for good works. See that? We're also made for good works. And we're meat for the master's use if we purge ourselves from sin. And I encourage you, the biblical gospel is not only faith in Jesus Christ, what he did, his death, burial, resurrection, because we can't work our way to heaven. For all have sinned. We fall short of God's glory. We need his perfect righteousness. But in order to apply that to our life, we have to repent. We have to come out of the world. We have to lose our life.
What's your personal testimony? How did you come to Christ?
So 21 years as a Lutheran.
I was in a Lutheran church when I was very young. As a matter of fact, my wife and I got married in a Lutheran church.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was a part of the Wells Evangelical Lutheran Synod up in the Midwest. And once I got into college, I kind of stopped going to church. I stopped doing that. I actually went to a Lutheran private school, Lutheran public, or private elementary school, high school, all of the whole nine yards. And I started testing it to the Word of God. I found some online teachers that said, the church systems aren't in the Bible. Going to a church building, like the practices of the Lutheran faith are not ordained in the Scriptures. And I'm like, really? I started looking at the Scriptures and I'm like, that's correct.
The Lutheran church is the closest to Catholicism.
Oh yeah, it's really close to Catholicism.
And the Episcopalian church too is very close to Catholicism.
And Catholicism is a completely pagan, occult, perversion of Jesus Christ. But
what I tell people is the Catholic Church has it right with the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And then it's downhill from there.
Yeah, that's pretty much all they got right. And also, there's some works involved with salvation. Not that we work our way to heaven, but works and faith go together. So they have some things kind of right, but not really. So I came out of the Lutheran faith, but then I went into a bunch of online false teachers. I had to repent of that. They really mess you up in false doctrine. YouTube is a terrible place for teaching because you can hop from video to video. They can give you all sorts of false doctrine. But it wasn't until I was actually at a festival like this, I heard a street preacher. That was actually my brother. I heard preaching the gospel at a festival that I stopped. I listened to him and I said, I got to test what he's saying to the Word of God because it sounds correct. So I went through the whole book of Matthew. I went through the gospels and I'm like, he's telling me the truth. I have to lose my life because before that, I believed in a Savior, the Lutheran Savior, the once saved, always saved Savior. Really light on sin, doesn't really care if you're in sin, out of sin, doesn't really matter. When you read through the Scriptures, you see that God is always a God of obedience. God is always a covenantal God. And we're in a blood covenant with Jesus Christ, and He requires that we do our part of the covenant, because he will always be faithful to his side of the covenant. And part of our side of the covenant is coming out of the world, following after him, because it says, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. We're yoked together with Jesus Christ. We have to walk with him on the narrow path to eternal life. So I there's a lot of false Christs that are in the world, and I encourage you, make sure you're obeying the truth, because Jesus said he's coming back to destroy all those who don't know God and don't obey the gospel. You have to obey it. It's not enough just to know it. And that's going to be really hard. And Jesus, actually, the apostle said, through much tribulation we'll enter into the kingdom of God. The world will hate you, Jesus said, as it hated me. The way is narrow, straight and narrow. In the scriptures, that means it's a confined way. You're pressing into the kingdom of God. You're striving to enter into the kingdom of God. We don't see that a lot in the church buildings. Not a whole lot of people striving to enter in. So,
you know what I think's happening here?
Yeah.
I think we are an excellent witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's a spirit of hell that follows you around.
Spirit of hell?
That
how
follows
so?
You around trying to. Because I talked to other people asking how those people just went by. How'd you feel about that? I thought they were a little off. I was kind of agitated. I was a little disturbed by it.
Right.
That's not you.
Yeah.
It's the devil following you around trying to mess up everything you're trying to do for Christ. Right?
Trying to mess up. So you're saying a devil's following me around? Is that, or trying to mess me up, or what?
Well, that's scriptural too, isn't it?
Well, the devils can definitely oppress, but
no, he's not. He's not affecting you. He's affecting other people that you were preaching the truth.
Oh, you mean like they're pulling them away from the truth? That's
right.
In other words,
this fellow's here. He's associated with you, right?
Yeah. He's my brother. Yep.
He's his brother. Okay. Now, when he talks, you can see, watch the faces of people.
Oh yeah. The more I've noticed, the more you do street ministry, the more you'll see that the Bible is absolutely correct. Not many people have ears to hear. The people actually hate the biblical gospel. We get some people speaking in demonic tongues coming up to us, praying over us. We get people that get really agitated, want to fight us. We get all sorts of different people.
Well, do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Is it evidence of speaking in other tongues?
I believe that was a sign in the apostles' age for the beginning of the church, the speaking in tongues.
You're more of a Calvinist persuasion, Baptist persuasion.
No, I'm not a Calvinist persuasion. I believe that that evidence, the Lord can definitely speak through speaking in tongues, but it's not evidence that you have the Holy Spirit. The evidence you have the Holy Spirit, the fruit that you're born again, is holiness and obedience.
But that's scripture. Baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues.
Well, I would actually talk to my elder brother about that, because I haven't studied it out completely. But what I want to make sure, sir, is that you're in the biblical gospel. You're obeying the biblical gospel.
I came back from Vietnam. I was a drug addict.
Okay.
And an alcoholic.
Right.
I was back a few years, and I was heavy into drugs and alcohol. It's at a 4th of July party.
Yep.
Drinking, doing drugs, shooting fireworks off. A quarter stick of dynamite went off my hand, blew my hand in half.
Wow, yeah.
When fingers went blowing off, the Spirit of God blew in. I felt the presence of God. They flew me to National Care Medical Center by helicopter.
Okay.
9-hour operation, 1,000 stitches. Right? I wake up in the hospital bed, and who's in the hospital bed next to me? Born-again Christian. You can see yourself as a born-again Christian?
Oh, yeah, I'm a born-again Christian, definitely. Okay. Yeah.
So this born-again Christian, he's talking to me about the Lord and everything. I said, wow, you sound just like my sister. My sister's a born-again Christian. He says, oh, my brother-in-law is a preacher. You want him to come in? I said, yeah. So he came in that day, and he prayed for me. He read out of the Word of God, and then he left. That night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, and I prayed one prayer. I said, Lord Jesus Christ, my life's a mess. I'm an alcoholic, abuse drugs, neglect my family.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. I said, reach down and touch my heart and change my life. Just as real as I'm talking to you, I heard a shout in heaven. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ came down and covered my soul. My sins came up off me, and I knew I'd never be able to drink alcohol or do drugs again.
Okay.
And I spent 38 years, no desire for drugs or alcohol, completely gone, as if it never was.
Well, I praise God for that, that you come out of drugs, alcohol, all of that. That's an awesome thing. But that doesn't mean that you're locked up, secure, that you're saved, you're going to heaven.
Wait a minute, I repented of my sins.
It's a daily... Repentance is not just a one-time act. When the Lord shows us, shines the light on a sin in our life, we have to repent of that sin. Like, for me, it was like dress. I had to come out of my prideful dress. Proverbs 6:17, a proud look is an abomination to God. I had to drop that. I had to follow after. The Lord actually gave us a standard for dress, and I had to lose all of the things in my life that were contrary to the Lord. So it's like a daily, when the Lord reveals sin to you, then you have to repent. It's not just a one-time act. And Hebrews 10:26 actually says, if you live in any willful sin, there's no more sacrifice left for sin.
Okay, but is the repentance of your sins sufficient one time to save your soul?
No.
Ah.
Unless you come out of every single sin that one time, I don't believe it's sufficient, because the Lord will reveal sins to you over time. You won't be sinlessly perfect, right? We're all striving for perfection.
I agree with that. God has shown me different sins. I had to repent of things.
Right.
But that one time that I repented of my sins was sufficient for me to have fellowship with God.
No, Jesus said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So if we're walking in the light, then we'll have that cleansing of sin.
You're starting to sound like a works thing.
Well, our works is coupled together with faith. And the grace of God gives us enough time, gives us the power, the strength to come out of our sin to obey him.
Are you hoping that someday you'll go to heaven?
Oh, I have that blessed hope, yeah, because I'm striving to keep myself from sin.
Or do you know right now you're going to heaven?
I don't know if I'm going to make it all the way to the end. Only the Lord knows that. But I'm going to do my very best to make it into the kingdom of heaven.
Okay.
Because we have to, Jesus himself said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. So you can fall away. You see that example in Demas in the scriptures in Acts. Paul said, Demas has deserted me. Demas left me. Or I don't believe it was Acts. It was one of Paul's letters. But he said, Demas left. He loved this present world. So you can be a fellow laborer with Christ. You can be striving to get out of sin. But if you run into a sin, we see it all the time with people, where you hit a wall, you run into something, and it's like, I can't lose that. I can't go away from that. I can't do that. The sanctification stops. The Lord will not give you any more light until you repent of that sin, because he gave you light. He said, repent of that. If you're not going to repent of that, yeah, it's willful sin. You have no hope.
Well, you know, my wife is gone. I got to find her.
Okay.
So,
well, hey,
I got that card.
You got a card. So yeah. I encourage you, make sure you're born again, because I want to ask you, why are you here today? Are you led by the Spirit or by the flesh today?
Well, I mean, I live for the Spirit of God every day, no matter what I do. God leads me. Like the fact that I'm talking to you, I feel led by God to talk to you.
I think it was a God appointment. And I think God is telling you to go deeper have to obey the scriptures.
You
know, it's not enough just to know it.
God does give us leeway to go and enjoy life, you know?
No, he says, flee from all unrighteousness, leave the sin, leave the world. My kingdom's not of this world.
Exactly.
Don't enjoy the world.
Exactly.
Follow after me in spirit. Crucify the flesh with its affections and lusts. We have to crucify the flesh. Everything we want to do, we got to serve God.
Okay.
We can't do what we want to do. So
I agree with you, but you seem awfully steadfast on repenting over and over again.
Well, think about this. If someone says, I'm married, I'm married. Like if someone claims to be married, they say it with their lips. They're like, I'm married. Believe me, I'm married. But the works, if I look at the fruit, Jesus said we judge a tree by its fruit. Look at the fruit. If they're beating on their wife, they're cheating on their wife, and all of this, it's like, I don't see, they're not a biblical marriage, at least. So we judge everything by the fruit. We judge everything by the works.
If you're practicing sin, you're not saved. If you occasionally sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we confess our
sins.
But
do you willfully go to sin?
No.
That's the question.
No, we don't. Once we're born again, we don't willfully go to sin anymore.
Then why are you here today? Is this of the flesh or of the Spirit? I'll go back to that. Because if we're led by the Spirit of God, we're not under condemnation. But if we're led by the flesh...
Well, we come here every year. You know, I mean, we could have stayed home. The Lord wanted me to stay home.
The Lord tells us to go preach the gospel. Make disciples.
Oh, I do that.
Okay.
You know I do. You know, most people will not even talk to you.
Right? Right. I mean, it's good that you're talking to me, but again... It's that sanctification, that obedience, following after the Lord in every part of our life, because the kingdom of God is not going to be full of festivals and temporary things like this. It's going to be full of glorifying God in every part of our life. And you have to make sure everything is aligned.
I've got to go find my wife. She's going to be mad at me if I'm from her too long.
Okay.
From the conversation that we had, do you think that I'm born again?
By the fruit?
Well, from our conversation, does the Spirit bear witness that I'm born again?
By the fruit, sir, I don't believe you're born again, no.
But you tell that to everybody, don't you?
Well, I look at the fruit. I judge a tree by its fruit. Yeah. If I say, why are you here?
I gave you a testimony how I came to the Lord, how I came to Christ.
Jesus said we know a tree by its fruit. It's not just lips, it's the outward showing. Right. So if we're of the world, and if we dress like the world, act like the world, live like the world, ready? In love, I got to tell you, promoting the military on your head, is that godly and God-honoring, or is that what opposite of what Jesus said? Love your enemies. Don't kill them with M16s and missiles. Is that fruit of a godly man, or is that a worldly man?
Well, Jesus Christ also said, you think I've come to bring peace, but not peace.
Right.
But a sword.
Yeah, but his sword.
And a family of five, yep. Three against two and two against three.
His sword was to separate families. He didn't hack anybody to death. He is coming in flaming fire at the end of the age, in fire and in wrath. He is coming. But the thing is, we are supposed to walk in peace. We're supposed to walk in holiness. We're supposed to walk in godliness. So yeah, I would confirm what my brother said. By your outward fruit, you haven't studied.
You're judging my heart by the hat I wear.
Well, Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks.
And that's what I've been speaking.
Yeah, but
out of he knows that I've been speaking the words of the Bible.
But out of the abundance of your heart, your life's lived too. So if your heart's full of God, you would be studying the scriptures. You wouldn't.
I study the scriptures all the time.
Yeah, but you wouldn't dress like the world. You wouldn't act like the world. You go to a church system.
Not currently, but I was telling
you. Do you think any of them are biblical?
Well, to a certain extent, they have the Bible there, and occasionally they'll quote scripture.
Well, but that doesn't mean they're biblical. Meaning, are they sound in their doctrine, sir?
Well, some are sound in their doctrine.
You know what I would do? You know what I'd do?
Would you say no church? No,
I don't know one man-made church that's of Christ because they're made of man. Name one. I'll tell you who started it. Name one. Baptist, started by men in the 1600s. Yeah, Jehovah's Witnesses, started by Russell.
But weren't they godly men?
John Calvin was a murderous man and a heretic. Martin Luther was a murderous man and a heretic.
Moses was a murderer.
Moses?
Yeah.
Before he was of God, so was Saul. But they repented and they never did it again. Calvin never repented of his murder. Calvin never repented.
I don't see you're making that judgment. He never repented. I don't know if he never did.
Yeah, he believed in tying men to stakes and burning them like Michael Sturtevant, and he signed off and said, "Kill them, burn heretics." Wow. Martin Luther said, "Baptize a Jew, put a rock around his neck, and throw him in a river." Hitler used Martin Luther's writings to kill all the Jews. See, you got to go much deeper. It'll change if you truly are born again. I'm not saying you're not. I don't see the fruit, but I'm saying if you're not, you are. If you're truly born again, out of your heart, you will strive for righteousness, holiness, and obedience, and you'll start to test everything. You'll remember what the street preacher said about your hat, and you'll go, it promotes war. Our heads aren't even supposed to be covered when we preach. All right, that needs to go away. God dressed our temples. In Genesis 3, he shed blood and dressed our temples. We're not supposed to show our bodies off and adorn them. All of these church systems that you might sample, God didn't invent them. Man invented them. And so if you start to test those things, you know what will happen, brother? What happens when you test your life at different things that are lies?
Everything changes.
Your whole life changes.
Yeah.
You'll lose all your family, friends. You'll lose everything. You'll lose your reputation, and you'll be hated. They're getting ready to call the police on me as I'm standing here peacefully in a park.
I'm getting ready to find my wife.
Okay.
She's going to be angry.
You'll be hated. Test
but
yourself.
Listen,
go much deeper.
No, don't go away yet.
Go much deeper. I got
to
go.
Would you allow me to pray?
We don't pray with people we don't know. Jesus never did. Paul never did.
Jesus prayed with people.
Where? What verse? He never prayed with one person. That might be a revelation to you. You got to study more. Never prayed with one person. He said, stay here while I go pray. Jesus said, pray in secret, in private, and your Father will reward you.
Yep.
See, that's another thing the church system do. A bunch of open public prayer.
How about
it's not of God.
The Garden of Gethsemane, he called his disciples to pray with him. And he says, why is it that you can't pray with me?
He went away to pray. They were there and they fell asleep.
But he was there. Even though he met
him. He didn't pray with them, not one time. We don't pray with strangers, sir. There's no biblical mandate to. We don't know who you are. You don't know who we are. Why would we pray?
I'm supposed to.
Ready?
Rather than praying. I'm supposed to know you by your fruit.
Right. Know us by our fruit. And our fruit is we follow the word of God. We don't pray with strangers. If you really want to draw close to us, you got our email. Yeah. Email us. We'll Bible study with you.
I don't want to draw close to you.
Well, then why would we pray with you?
I want to draw close to Christ.
Okay, then go pray secretly. Jesus said go pray in your closet.
Got to go. See ya.
That's yourself, sir. Go much deeper. We love you.